The world's largest IPO has been delayed.
Everyone was eagerly anticipating an announcement on Sunday that Aramco is finally going to go ahead with this IPO.
And President Trump praises an American negotiated pause in Turkish military operations in Syria.
Sometimes you have to let them fight a little while.
Plus, NASA tries again for the first all-female spacewalk. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why Saudi Aramco's IPO has been delayed, here's what you missed. At a rally in Dallas, Texas yesterday, President Trump said Turkey's decision to agree to a five-day pause in military operations in northern Syria was a, quote, amazing outcome.
Turkey's going to be happy. The Kurds are going to be happy. ISIS is going to be unhappy.
We report that fighting flared early this morning in the region. It's a setback to the deal, which was struck by Vice President Mike Pence after 5 hours of talks with Turkish President Recep Erdogan on Thursday. And Rick Perry has announced his resignation as Energy Secretary in a message on Twitter. He said he would step down by the end of this year.
And then I'll return to my favorite place in the world. Texas.
Although we report that he had planned to leave the job by the end of the year, his resignation comes amid growing scrutiny of his role in the president's interactions with Ukraine, including a subpoena from the House impeachment inquiry. And latest figures out this morning show that China's economic growth slowed even further in the third quarter. From Shanghai, James Eredi has more.
China's economy grew 6% in the third quarter of this year. On the face of it, that sounds like a good number, but the economy continues to slow. For the last several years, it is ratcheted downward, and each quarter this year, it has done that. 6% is the baseline for what the Chinese government says it will tolerate. It was expecting as much as 6.5% earlier this year, but now as we reach 6%, that's really the bottom line. The markets are looking forward to efforts by the Chinese government to spend money, possibly cut interest rates, but otherwise take some steps to make sure that the economy doesn't fall into the fives.
Markets in mainland China fell after the numbers were released, with Shanghai's index closing down over 1%. And here's a contradiction for you. Even though young people are having less sex than prior generations at the same age, they're contracting more STDs than any other age group. That's according to a recent report from the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC found that rates of infection for STDs like chlamydia and gonorrhea are accelerating at an alarming rate. Joe Craven McGinty says the reasons for the increase are hard to pinpoint.
The CDC suspects it might have to do with riskier behavior. It could have to do with less education. It could have to do with fewer clinics. There have been funding cuts for local and state health departments that have cut back STD programs. It's probably a combination of things. With younger people, the CDC also wonders what role social networks play in this. And they're not certain. They're trying to put together some studies to sort of figure out for sure what's going on.
Joe adds that it's important to note that the CDC's report reflects only a portion of STDs occurring in the U.S. That's because there are at least 35 STDs, and most, including herpes and HPV, aren't, quote, notifiable. That means they aren't tracked by the government. Now, our main story this morning. Saudi Aramco has postponed its IPO. It's a setback for what would be the world's largest ever stock market listing. Rory Jones has been covering the story from the Middle East. He joins us now from London. So, Rory, what happened?
So, it's not quite clear why, but what we do know is that Aramco wants to wants some third quarter figures that will help put some sheen on the IPO and help sell the IPO to investors. So it's looking for those third quarter figures before it can then announce the IPO and tell everyone, here's why this is a good company you should invest in it.
I feel like we've been talking about this IPO for years now. What's been leading to these long delays?
Yeah, so the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, he first talked about an IPO back in 2016. And at that time, he announced a sweeping economic and social reform program in Saudi Arabia. And the IPO was going to be the centerpiece of that because it was going to raise up to $100 billion that the Crown Prince could then use to invest in other industries like tourism and technology. And so this IPO has been talked about a lot since the announcement of that big reform program, but it got delayed initially because Saudi officials were concerned about scrutiny of the oil firm and whether the oil firm could face lawsuits around the world if it's listed. And so for a while it was put on ice until earlier this year. And then Aramco surprised everyone earlier this year by issuing a bond that was heavily oversubscribed by investors in that lots of investors wanted to get access to this bond. And they raised $12 billion and they issued a prospectus that laid out a lot of the information that we'd never heard or seen about Aramco before. And so there was this sense earlier this year that Aramco was moving in a transparent way to an IPO. And so in September, it appointed bankers on the sale. And for the last few weeks, we've seen a flurry of news about how they might value the company and where they want to sell to investors. And it all looked like it was definitely heading towards an IPO. And so we were all a bit shocked yesterday when they said at least our sources said that the announcement on Sunday wasn't going to go ahead.
I mean, how crucial is this IPO to Saudi Arabia's economy? Is it still the linchpin of its future?
Yeah, I think it's still a... it's important twofold, really. It's important from a sense of perspective and PR perspective for the Crown Prince. He's earmarked this IPO as the centerpiece of his economic reform program. And he sort of... He's a monarch, so he's not necessarily bet his future on it, but he's bet his reputation on this IPO. And so in that sense, it's important that Saudi Arabia is seen to deliver on it. And then from a financial perspective, it would be very valuable for Saudi Arabia to get an injection of cash that they can then use to create different industries, build hotels, try to invest in companies and tech companies abroad like they have been doing to establish in Saudi Arabia. And all of that is aimed at creating jobs for Saudi's young people. It has a burgeoning sort of youth population. And so they all need jobs. And many of them are already working in the public sector for the government. And that's just not sustainable. So it is an important part of this wider program the Prince has launched.
In a statement, Aramco said that it's ready for its IPO. It added that the timing of it will depend on market conditions and the shareholders' choosing. You can find all of our Aramco coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. There's been a lot happening on global markets this week, from a spate of bank earnings to the gyrations we saw in the pound yesterday as the result of the draft Brexit deal agreed to by the UK and EU negotiators. And if you can remember this far back in time, on Monday, investors were combing through the details of US-China trade talks. Caitlin Ostroff is going to break it all down for us. So, Caitlin, what a week.
Yeah, so investors are kind of reeling from this week, trying to make heads and tails of what's happening in the news flows. You have the U.S.-China trade tensions, which seem like they had acquiesced a little bit, but seem to have kind of continued to be a uncertain force within markets. And so investors are looking at that and kind of wondering how this new geopolitical risk factors into positioning and where we might go from here. On top of that, you also have the UK and EU potentially reaching an agreement on a leave for Brexit, but it looks like there's more uncertainty there as the Northern Ireland's party might not be on board with it. And so the question is now what happens on Saturday when Parliament reconvenes and how will that news affect positioning and affect UK stocks and the pound and what it all means for the market environment.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. NASA is trying again for its first ever all-female spacewalk. The initial attempt was abandoned earlier this year because NASA didn't have enough spacesuits in the right size. Taylor Umloff has more.
So what happened was they had a different astronaut in the International Space Station in the spring. It was Anne McLean. And she had trained on Earth in both medium and large suits, spacesuits. And once she got to space and did a spacewalk, she discovered she preferred the medium size over the large. Her fellow astronaut, Christina Cook, preferred the medium as well. And there was only one spacesuit aboard the International Space Station. So they had to switch it up a little bit. And she did a different spacewalk and they didn't get an opportunity to do it together.
So today, NASA astronauts Christina Cook and Jessica Meir are scheduled to venture outside the International Space Station. They're going to replace a power controller that failed over the weekend. Here's Taylor again.
So they originally intended to go out Monday, October 21st, to upgrade some of the batteries on the outside of the station. There was work done previous weekend, and when they did that, they discovered that they had to fix part of that component. So they moved up their walk to today instead. So the original goal was to upgrade the batteries. Instead, they're going out to fix part of it so they can continue with the upgrades afterwards.
The spacewalk, which is the 221st one to occur at the International Space Station since December 1998, is scheduled to begin at about 7:50 a.m. Eastern Time. It will be streamed on NASA's website if you want to watch. Finally, if this Friday you're looking to fantasize about a truly gluttonous weekend, do we have the article for you? It's an hour-by-hour guide to where to eat, drink, and listen to some great music in New Orleans over a long weekend. My mouth is watering just thinking about the beignets. Give it a read. And if you, too, love New Orleans, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your top recommendations to our email address, whatsnews@wsj.com. You can also tweet us at @WSJPodcasts. Your comments might be used in follow-up reporting. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.